If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Life's Key 3 edition specifically for parents. You know, one of the great goals of my heart is to help equip parents to raise kids, raise the next generations who are adept at life's key three aims, that they are spiritually strong, they are emotionally healthy, and they are relationally smart. So what I've done is I have added to the regular podcast where I focus on Bible teaching, I've added this shorter episode so that it will be able to help parents apply the Bible teaching and other resources and things that I'm going to be talking about to raising their kids, whether they are taught still at home or whether they are even adult kids that you find that you are still mentoring. Well, in the last episode, we looked at Nehemiah chapter 1. And as I said before, I love studying and teaching from the book of Nehemiah. I think that the summary of the topic of the book is really about leadership. It is a goldmine for leaders. If you are a parent, you are a leader. Whether you have one kid or you have 25, you are a leader. And I want you to remember this. You're not just leading that child. You are setting that child up as they will lead in their families, in their communities, in their jobs, and all the other things that they do. So your impact is exponential. It's not 1 + 1 + 1. It is a multiplied effect, and I want you to live that reality because it's absolutely true. Well, what we looked at was the six-step model of prayer that Nehemiah showed us after he got some news that just broke his heart. And this is a six-step model of prayer that children of all ages can use. Yeah, even your little preschoolers, you can teach this model of prayer too. It has six steps. And I know, kids learn to count to 5 and 10 really, really fast, even if they get those numbers out of order when they're very little, because they understand the concept of 10 fingers and 10 toes. So we're not going to do all 10. We're going to do a little bit more than just fives. So we're going to get both hands involved here. So what is this model? Number one, it is to recall God's goodness. Now, if you will practice this with your children, it is incredibly powerful. Even if it's just one item that you lead your children in prayer to remember God's goodness. And it's best for kids if you can do this in a way that is specific to them or to your family or to people in your circle. So remember something that is important to them. Again, you don't have to think in terms of these big, grandiose ideas, but think about something where God's goodness showed up for them, for you, for your family, for people in your circle, and remind your kids about this. And then just go back and have them say, thank you for that. God, we remember how good you were when, fill in the blank, when someone's baby came on time and wasn't premature when the doctors were concerned that was going to happen, when we got that extra income that came in from something that garage sale that we had, and that allowed us to pay for that unexpected auto repair expense, when we were able to move, when mommy or daddy got that new job, when there was an issue with a friend that got worked out, when a student passed a test that they studied and worked really hard for. So think about those things. And this is also where it's a good practice to be able to have an individual or a family gratitude journal. Just jot these things down. sometimes journaling can feel very overwhelming because it sounds like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to sit down and write out like this entire story and this whole narrative and all this kind of stuff. You don't have to do that. My gratitude journal, I usually just have like, here's number 843. And I can usually write it in one line. Now, if somebody else picked up that journal and read it, they probably wouldn't have a clue what a lot of those things were. But I'm not keeping it for anybody else. I'm keeping it for me. And there are things that I can go back and read, and it jogs my memory to go, oh yeah, God, you were good specifically in this area. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to say thank you for that again. So number one, recall God's goodness. Number two, request God's attention. Now, as I said in the previous episode, it's not because God is asleep or he's dozing off or, you know, he's thinking about something else when we're praying to him. We request God's attention, not because we need to go, hey, you know, look at me, God, I'm talking to you. Yeah, right here. That's not the attitude. It is a humble request. It's like when you teach a child and they come up to you and you're busy doing something or you're working or maybe you're talking to another person, and what do you want them to do? You want them to learn to come up and request, not demand, your attention. So you want to teach them that when they come up to you to say, excuse me, and then make the request or wait until you are done. You don't want them to just come up and go, hey, mom. Hey, I want a cookie now, you know, and all that kind of stuff that kids will do by default. What you want them to do is to request your attention. And so we want to also teach them to request God's attention, again, to have that attitude of reverence and respect. The third thing is to repent of wrongs. Now, Nehemiah modeled for us others that he was repenting not just for his own wrong, but also for those of his people. The key here is to explain that he was interceding, okay? He wasn't remembering everybody else's wrongdoing and bringing it up. So you want to make sure that you explain this point really thoroughly, because you don't want to sit down and teach your kids this model of prayer and then find that they're sitting down and keeping a list of all the things their siblings or mom or dad or friend or whoever did wrong. And it becomes time to tattletale to God. That's not the point of pointing out other people's wrongs. So depending on the age of the child, you want to be very clear in your teaching. But it does model for us that there is an appropriateness to interceding for other people and to say, God, I know that my sister is really struggling right now with feeling that she's invisible at school, a feeling that other people just don't see her and they don't care about her. And God, I know that that hurt made her say some things that were really unkind the other day. So I want you to help me to forgive her and for you to forgive her and to help her deal with this situation so that she doesn't continue to have to feel invisible. That's an attitude of intercession, not just, well, you know, my sister said some really nasty things the other day, and I'm just kind of wanting you to know that, God. You might want to think about forgiving her. That's not the attitude that we're wanting to teach. All right, the fourth step in this process is to remind God of his promises. Again, this isn't because God is forgetful and goes, oh, yeah, I guess I did say that. It is about us saying, hey, God, we have taken the time to know you and to learn about you, and we remember this. We are appealing to you with something that we remember. And this is where your children need to know God's word. They're not going to be able to remind God about something that they don't know. And so even if it's something, a very simple kind of verse that you have found in Scripture, or for older kids and for teens, it can be entire passages or stories from Scripture where they have been able to see the promises that God makes to us. Not that he will keep us out of all trouble, but that he will be with us through all things. And so depending on the ages of your children, have a verse or have a passage or have a story at the ready. And maybe it's one that you just refer back to regularly. Maybe it becomes like a life verse for them. Maybe it's a life verse for your family. Maybe it's a theme verse for your family. Maybe you switch it up every day or every week or every month, or you make it a memory verse. Whatever it is, have a specific prayer verse of a promise that God has made that you and your children can refer back to in their prayers. Now, I do want to make one important point on this. There is a distinction in the Bible between principles that God promises and establishes and moral laws. There are principles, for example, in the Psalms where David talks about, you know, God's children having their needs met. Well, if you look through history, there have been plenty of times where loving, godly, faithful Christians have not had their needs met in the sense that no one ever starved to death. We would say that is a human need, and it is. The only people in the world that have ever starved to death have not been unbelievers. So how do we reconcile that? And especially for older children, as they become more knowledgeable about history, which hopefully you are teaching them history, right? And about the world around us right now. And they say, well, this verse says this, but I see this over here happening. How do I reconcile those things? There is a difference between an absolute promise, which one of is God saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That is a promise that does not change dependent on the situation. Does the principle that God's children will have enough change depending on situations? Yeah, it does. Okay. When we're talking about needs in the sense of food, clothing, shelter, those types of needs. So as our children get older, we want to make sure that we don't become intimidated as they start to go, wait a minute, this says this over here, and yet I see this over here happening. How do I reconcile those? Well, one of the things that you can do is to make sure to understand and explain the difference between a moral law, such as God is always with us, and a principle such as God's children will always have their physical needs met, that those two are not the same category. All right, number five is that we remind God of his relationship to us. Again, it's not because he's forgotten who we are or his relationship to us. It is because we are the ones who need reminding, and we are appealing to God because of his relationship to us, based on his relationship to us. So who is he? He's our Abba Father. He's our Lord. He's a God. He's the creator. He's the provider. He's our protector. In whatever specific way that you are praying, find a verse or think of a way to be able to make that relationship specific and relevant. So it's not just God, but it's God in what capacity? And lastly, step six is requesting God's favor for others and yourself. And that's absolutely okay to do. We see that modeled right here by Nehemiah. Request God's favor for others and yourself. All right, there you have it, my friends. A six-step prayer plan that works for anyone, from preschoolers up through adults and all throughout life. That's a model. It's not the only model of prayer, but I like the fact that it's modeled here by Nehemiah. And I think as we dive into his situation and the circumstances, you're going to see why that prayer is so powerful. Well, I want you and your kids to know God's word, because it is living and active. And it is not just information, it is something that is more powerful than what we can explain in human terms. You can go to the website, stephaniepresents.com, and you can sign up there for the weekly e-letter, High Impact. And what that will allow you to do is to be able to download some free resources. And one of those is a PDF of Nehemiah's six-step prayer model. It's very short. It's printed. It's got some nice graphics on it. You can print it out. You can stick it up in a frame. You can put it on your refrigerator. You can put it on a bulletin board. Tape it up on the bathroom mirror, for that matter. And then have that become part of how you pray and part of how you teach your children to pray, because it really is something that can track through all of life. And kids learn incredibly fast. And trust me, you won't have to go through this too many times, no matter what their ages are, and they're going to have these six steps memorized. All right, mom, hang in there with your work as you are raising those kiddos. And remember this, because it's true for you as an individual and it is exponentially true for you as a parent. And it is this: you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.